Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Another beautiful day in the central Susquehanna Valley, and we get to talk sports. Life is good. Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. I'm Sean Carey. We'll hear from Steve in just a second in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, North 4th Street, Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lots of ways to get in contact with us. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. And find us on social media, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, our Twitter handle at SteveJonesPSU, and subscribe to our free podcast. That way you can listen to our shows anytime, anywhere from your smartphone or tablet. So go to either Google Play, Apple Podcast app, or iTunes and search Steve Jones Show. Look for the subscribe button. Hit the subscribe button. That's it. Drop your shows right to your mobile device, just like that. And you can also jump on board stevejonesshow.com. 3 months of previous shows you may have missed or want to replay an interview, that's how you do it. All right, so no show tomorrow because of Phillies Day baseball, so we will have our high school football roundtable next half hour at 3:35. As we set the table for week 5 of high school football, it'll be Shikellamy at Jersey Shore. We'll hear from the chief, Dave Ritchie. Seawinds Grove at undefeated Berwick. We'll hear from Zach Showers, our Seals stat guy, the Z-Man on Eagle 107. And Lewisburg will be taking on the Shamokin Indians Friday night at Christine. We'll hear from Greg Wetzel, our play-by-play Green Dragons announcer on 100.9 The Valley. All right, so we'll have them for you on our Sunbury broadcasting stations on Friday night. And, of course, you can go to our high school scoreboard page at WKOK.com as the games are in progress and get your updates fast and first. And of course, we'll wrap up the week on Friday as Steve's brother Kevin Jones call in from Connecticut and we'll get his weekly football picks. Well, even though the starting job has been taken away from him for the second time in 3 seasons, permanently this time, barring an injury to Daniel Jones, Eli Manning is not looking to flee New York in search of another starting opportunity before he rides off into the sunset. Certainly sounds like Manning is going to spend the final 14 games of the season watching from the New York Giants sidelines. And that is according to Ralph Vacchiano, Giants beat writer for SNY. Giants reporter says he has no immediate plans, Manning does, to waive his no-trade clause. That would prevent New York from flipping Manning for a draft pick from a quarterback-desperate team before the trade deadline, which is on October the 29th.
All right. Eli will be gone. Look, he did. When you traded for him, you're like, "What do you mean traded for him? They drafted him." No, the Giants drafted Phillip Rivers, and the Chargers drafted Eli Manning, and they swapped picks. And that's because that's what the Manning family wanted. They did not want to go to San Diego. But look, I know he's a 500 record quarterback. What is he, 116 and 116 in the regular season? But he won 2 Super Bowls and was the MVP of both Super Bowls. Well, guess what? In the end, that is the object of the game. The object, you know, to me, the ability, it is so hard to win. Winning is not easy. I know it feels like the way a highlights make the game, and this is nobody's fault, by the way. Highlights make games look easy. No, highlights make great plays and players look easy. But it is very difficult. And winning is hard. It's just hard. There's a lot of things that have to go right for you to win, or there are also a lot of things that sometimes have to go wrong for the other guy. Because, to be honest with you, there are a lot of games that are lost and not won. It's difficult. Our roundtable today, how about the story, by the way, about Chickalimmie and Southern Columbia will be a no-go? How about that one? I don't blame him. What do you get out of it? Chickalimmie will be at Jersey Shore. Remember a few years ago, the suit taunting Jersey Shore on the show?
Up and down. And oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, taunting. Yeah, they're never good consecutive years. They never are. And
I remember I did that a lot in my Lock Haven days growing up in high school, but we had to. They were our rivals, and I grew up just 10 miles from there. So, but there was a lot of, but they probably didn't. But on the mean streets of Jersey Shore, they were probably they were aiming their vocals up our way toward Lock Haven.
I mean, like at Michigan, they got a sign, the team. At Notre Dame, play like a champion. At Jersey Shore, they got a picture of the suit. So this guy disparages us. And now he's got to go in there. Hostile crowd, hostile environment. Meanwhile, Pat O'Brien and Ryan Brandt, they go to places like Berwick. They're celebrated. Well, these guys are pretty good. They're great guys. All right, Shamokin will be at Lewisburg. Oh, the Shamokin guys can't wait to see Greg Wetzel.
Ask Jason about his golf
Michaels
game.
Can't wait. Yeah. About his golf game, Jason Michaels, the whole deal.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we've got the one guy that goes someplace, and people go, oh, no. This guy ripped our program apart. And Donnie Collins at 4:06 today, and Joe Rutter at 4:35. So we do have a lot going on the show. And looking forward to it very much. People have asked me, how am I going to spend my bye weekend? Well, my bye weekend will be spent this way. My son Christopher and his new wife Angela got jobs in Virginia, suburban D.C.
That is outstanding.
Which is awesome. Angela's going to be teaching fourth grade, as a matter of fact. And guess on Saturday who's helping them to move?
That's just exactly. When you thought you were done with that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I got to do that. That'll be good. A lot of fun. Yeah, I said, so exactly, Chris, where is the apartment? It's on the third floor. That's just tremendous. Just tremendous. So that's my bye weekend. Now, next week.
Well, hopefully, the weather down there will be just as beautiful as what it's going to be here right through Sunday.
It's going to be 95.
Oh.
So. Then the next weekend, Penn State plays on a Friday night. So I've got Saturday, Sunday off. And my son's father-in-law has a snowblower. Doesn't need it anymore. My son lives in Rochester, where you need it starting in September. So, yes, he's going to go down and pick it up for him. Yeah. Yeah. Just trying to be the good dad here. I'm just trying to be the good dad.
Only thing missing on your ride, the number one dad sticker in the back window.
Absolutely. I feel like Ward Cleaver. All right, so... What would Ward do? he'd move one son in and he'd get the snowblower for the other one.
Oh. Gee, Dad.
Illy's dad's going to help him move this weekend.
Yeah.
Don't have to worry about that argument.
No. So Kathy's like, well, maybe we can stay over Saturday night. I go, no, we're not staying over Saturday night. I'm not going to stay over Saturday night. I'm on the road three of the next four weekends. I'm not going to go to a hotel on Saturday night. Now, the other bye weekend, I've almost got it all set. And
so that's early November, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Christmas decorations?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm going to New Hampshire. Because that is when our sixth grandchild is due. And I already have the hotel set. I still have to get the airline tickets. But, you know, obviously it's a roll of the dice here, but the baby's due November 1st. And we'd go up there the 1st through the 3rd. Then come back. Because I'm going to have to teach. I got to go back. I got to be on the show on the 3rd. So, yeah. Hey, what are you going to do with your bye week? They gave you two this year. Sure did.
More golf. Well.
No, not really. No, can't do that. No. See, now with the snowblower, I may just like go down, pick the thing up, and just drive the thing up all the way from Pittsburgh. I don't care. Just go up. I just not stay overnight. Drop it off. Here you go. Hug the grandkids. Love you. I'm going back. Oh, my God. Because I was reminded about the November 1st thing today because Dan sent me an ultrasound of the baby. So I was like, oh. So you're like, oh.
Awesome. Hope all's well.
Seems to be.
Excellent.
I'll talk to him tonight. Then he'll start asking me about injuries. All right, so.
Son, it's the bye week. Good.
Ben Kirschival on the show tomorrow. And our picks are tomorrow.
How about Friday?
I mean, I meant Friday.
I know.
Tomorrow we're off.
I know.
The Phillies are playing tomorrow.
Yeah.
Corey Dickerson's out for the year. That hurts because he's a pretty good player. And at least it's a day without any Pirates news. I mean, those guys must wake up every day in that front office and look around and go, okay, is there anything I hesitate to ask that I need to know? And today they said, nope, nothing. Oh, good. I'm just going to go back to my office and pull a Costanza and shut the door.
Now, there was a criminal complaint released today by Pennsylvania State Police regarding Felipe Vasquez, but we can...
Yeah, well, Felipe Vasquez, well, look, I tell you right now, they already knew that was happening. So essentially to them, nothing happened today. They already knew that was going to happen. And I guess the mother of the girl in Florida is the one that was actively involved in, hey, guys, you should look into this. And it's a big weekend of college football. Georgia and Notre Dame is the highlight game down in Athens. They played a couple of years ago at South Bend, and Georgia won by one. That was a huge, huge win for Georgia at the time.
I heard tickets going for like $600 a pop for that game on Saturday.
And the Georgia student body, which normally has a lot of guys, women, guys and women that don't attend games, are going to show up. Do you know what Georgia's no-show rate is for the student body at games?
I bet it's probably a lot higher than people think.
29%.
Wow.
That's nearly one in three Georgia students doesn't go to the game. And they have tickets. They have the tickets. I'm talking about these are Georgia students who have tickets. And 29% are no-shows. Wow. I never would have thought that in a million years. Now, Arizona and Arizona State are number one. They're at 47% no-shows on students with tickets. I'm not that surprised by it. you know, Arizona State. Arizona State has a decent tradition, but it's not deep seated. Arizona has an okay tradition. It's not deep seated, so I can understand higher no show rates. But Georgia, and when you look, I mean, Georgia's quote among the blue blood class. And you would think that, oh, yeah, I've got my Georgia ticket 7 times a year. I'm going to go no matter what because I'm a Georgia fan. And that's not the case. They have the tickets. They're sold, but 29% aren't showing up. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hey, come closer. Word has it Sunbury Motors is preparing for their biggest truck sale ever. Pick from Central PA's largest selection of new Ford trucks with savings up to $16,350 during Sunbury Motors' massive September truck and SUV sale. Over 45 2019 Ford Escapes starting at just $18,180. Four-wheel drive 2019 Ford EcoSports are slashed to as low as $17,320. SMC has up to $8,000 off 2019 Ford Edges and up to a whopping $13,000 off Ford Expeditions. All clearly marked with these huge discounts. Maybe you'd better pull over and write this down. The hot, all-new 2019 Ford Ranger has discounts up to $6,500. And Sunbury Motors has 2019 Ford F-150 crew cabs slashed to just $32,909. That's a lot of slashing. SMC is where you want to be right now for the largest truck and SUV sale in Sunbury Motors' 104-year history. Hurry while supplies last, but don't tell anyone.
The Penn State Nittany Lions play on WKOK.
Back he goes. Waits. Delivers far corner. K.J. Hamler. Got him. Touchdown. Penn State.
Penn State football is sponsored by Murray Motor Chevrolet, Earth Energy Innovations, Register Chevrolet, First National Insurance, Sealands Grove Ford, Mart's Game Farm, Purdy Insurance Agency. Next weekend, the Nittany Lions are taking on Maryland. Airtime is 6:30 next Friday night.
Great to have you with us on the show today. Let's see. Hey, your team's going to be interesting to watch, by the way. Because of the Mason Rudolph thing. I mean, your guys. I mean, they're your guys.
We're now looking ahead to the future.
Now you have no Ben, no Le'Veon.
Nope.
No Antonio.
Uh-uh.
Yeah. This is, I mean,
and next year we're on pace to have no Sean Davis or Bud Dupree.
Okay, enough of the positives. Let's get to...
Right. I am disappointed in Sean Davis, though. I remember the night he got drafted, you and I were texting each other back and forth while watching the draft. Yeah, yep. Yep. You saw a lot of college tape of him.
Yeah, and in person. I liked him. Now, I'll tell you, the guy I didn't like didn't really make me think twice about... Like, whatever, Darnell Savage. I looked at a lot of tape of him. I was like, yeah, whatever. I see him in games against Penn State. Yeah, whatever. First-round pick, and he's off to a great start with the Packers. Thinking, what am I missing here? Well, the bottom line is, you got the wrong Maryland safety. I mean, what gets me, though, is that, you know, like the suit switch to the Jets.
Oh, wrong time there. Wow.
Well.
Ouch.
It fits with the persona.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show is brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Bottom line is, deal with the best in the business, and that's Sunbury Motors. The Phillies are in this time spot tomorrow, and because of that, we'll do our high school roundtable today. And don't forget about game night with Sean Carey, which is the best radio post-game show out there. I mean, not even close. The knowledge, the detail, the reports, everything. Sean does a brilliant job.
Checks in the mail. Thank you.
Nope, that's accurate. You are that, my friend. You
are kind. Thank you. Week five. So man, halfway point already. It's crazy.
We're not out of September yet.
Man.
That part of that, you know what, to be honest with you, that bothers me. I know there's an accommodation here to do the playoff. I think the playoff's too big anyway, but that's, you know, and I think it starts with the district stuff. I think the district stuff's too big. But we should not be hitting September 20th and being at the halfway mark of the high school football season. You should be at the halfway mark of the high school football season on October 4th. That's just me. I mean, there's nothing to me. There's something about that—a little bit of snap in the air, a little bit of whatever, you know. But that, well, oh well, that's the old man got off my lawn stuff here. I know. So we'll start with Shikellamy at Jersey Shore, and Dave Ritchie, the chief, joins us. Dave, how have you been?
I've been doing pretty good, Steve. Thank you very much. And I agree with you 100% about the way the things are scheduled. There's, you know, you wake up today and there's it's a beautiful day and it's going to get down to 45. Well, that should be happening, you know, in October, and that's when we should be playing football. It's just a lot. Yeah. It's a lot better. But again, I'm older than you, so that's the old man in me too.
Yeah, I know. But well said, though, Dave. Appreciate that. So let's get to the Shikellamy. Why the inability to rack up points?
I'll be honest with you. Selins Grove was just that much better than Shikellamy on Friday night. You know, they Shikellamy, those kids play hard, and they practice hard, and they really have, I think, a love for the football game. But they just got beat by a better team in Selins Grove. Selins Grove executed better. Again, that 3-5 defense where you're bringing those five linebackers up and you know you don't know where they're gonna come, what gap they're gonna come through, caused Shikellamy a lot of problems. I know some teams adjust to it very well, like Southern did, but you know Southern's you know a little bit more advanced as far as offensive line play than we are. And I give all the credit to Selins Grove. They did an outstanding job. And you know, like again, it was a close game up until the third quarter again, and Shikellamy's inability to cover the tight end really hurt them. I mean, he came off the line of scrimmage untouched several times and then unguarded, and they had three big pass plays to him to open that game up.
All right, so Dave, what are the numbers like on this team? I mean, how many guys came out for the team?
Yeah, I think
rough number.
Roughly, they didn't bring all the ninth graders up this year. They're trying to have a ninth grade team, and I think Todd had approximately 38 kids on the team, and that's not bad if you're talking about 10th, 11th, and 12th graders and a couple of ninth graders. So, I was a little when they said there was only like 30, you know, mid 30s. I thought, well, that's not too good, especially if you got your ninth graders up. But he has some ninth graders down to play ninth grade football.
How many guys are playing two ways for this team?
I would say that probably I think seven or eight of them are going both ways, and most of your skilled people are going both ways, and a couple of the linemen. And you know those kids that don't go both ways, don't start both ways, they play a lot. I mean, for example, you might see a halfback in that's our middle linebacker normally, but he comes in and runs once in a while, or you might see an outside backer that lines up at wide receiver several times. So, you know, I would say that out of the 11 positions on offense and defense, that it's probably shared. They're shared, you know, by the same person quite a bit.
So how do you feel about the job they've done in the trenches on both sides?
Well, you know, I look at our offensive when we're running the ball, and we have trouble running outside. When we run right at a team, we're pretty successful. I mean, Joel Durr usually picks up 4 or 5 yards, even if the blocking isn't the best, if he's going straight ahead. And Nate Menear has done a good job. And when we run inside the tight end on, I used to call like it, I know it's kind of a dumb term, but it's an inside sweep. But it seems if we try to get to the outside, that we the pursuit and the ability to block down and secure the end has hurt us. As far as passing goes, most of the time our quarterback is moving. There doesn't seem to be any 3 or 5 step drop back passing. It's basically, you know, sprint out or roll out, and for the most part, he doesn't get a chance sometimes to, you know, set up. I was just talking to Greg Wetzel here about when you run the waggle, one of the things that your quarterback has to do, he makes a decision whether he sets up behind that pulling guard and throws the ball or else he keeps running. Our quarterback hasn't had the chance to set up behind the guard, so that means that the defense is doing a pretty good job of putting pressure on him when he gets out to the end.
All right, what about this matchup this week with Jersey Shore? Are there areas of this matchup that you think are favorable for Shigalemi?
I think as far as size goes, that we match up very well against them, and I think we have our skill people are pretty good. I think attitude and the ability to get your job done is basically going to decide who's going to win this football game. You know, going up to Thompson Street Stadium, I've coached up there, and it's like a whole different atmosphere. You know, it's like going into. I remember when I was younger and I played some basketball games in the old Cole Township gym in Shamokin, and it was like a bandbox, and you walked in, and automatically, you know, you felt like you were defeated because it was just, you know, just the whole atmosphere. And yeah, I think the kids overcome that. And I watch Southern Area, and I watch their kids on defense, and they read their keys, they do their job, they don't improvise a lot, and they don't try to overkill their positions. And I think when if you realize that, and if you're a defensive lineman or a defensive back or a linebacker, if you just do your job, all right, it's much better than trying to guess. And sometimes I think our kids are trying to make a big play, and that causes them to fail at what they're doing. And the same way with offense. You know, I think one of the greatest things an offensive lineman can do is not to let that defensive player gain separation. You know, you got to, and I think going away from using your shoulder to block has really hurt because everybody's using their hands now. And I think if you get a shoulder into a person, it's a lot harder for that person to get away from you than if you're using your hands. And those are all things. And listen, you're talking to a guy that when I played football offensively at my tackle position, many times I scored way below 50% when they graded me. So I know what the mistakes can be made, and I'm not saying that I don't understand why they don't do it, because every mistake that was made out there, I've made. And as you get older, it's the old story. I'm better now than I was 50 years ago when I was playing. But that's the key. I think you just do your job, and things will come into play.
Dave, always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve. You have a good day.
All right. You too. You mentioned the Selins Grove and how well they play, so we'll bring in Zach Showers now. Selins Grove will be at Berwick. Hi, Zach. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about yourself, Steve?
Great. So what worked on Friday night? Let's take from the Selins Grove point of view. What worked for them and something they can build on?
First and foremost, we talked about it last week, just the offensive line showed up to play. As a whole, they got their assignments. They were able to run the ball effectively, whether that was out of shotgun or back in I formation. And then they were able to use that to set up the play action. As Dave said, Danny Schock was able to hit some key passes, hit some big plays to the tight end, and also to Josh Nyland, the one wide receiver. So they were able to kind of have a nice balance of being able to put together some longer drives, but they were also able to hit some chunk plays that got Selins Grove the momentum, and they were able to score a little quicker than what they have in other weeks.
All right, you know, the execution obviously was a lot better. What did it do for the team's attitude? Because, look, Southern Columbia is going to beat everybody by that number. But it's how you handle it. What does it tell us about how they handled it?
Oh, I think it was big. I think it was kind of a little bit of a reset on the season. I think Jersey Shore a couple weeks ago was a bit of a shock. That was not a game that you expected to lose by the margin you did. And like you said, Southern, you can't really take too much away from that. But I think there's a nice, the last six games of the season are all games that Selins Grove should be in. So it was nice to definitely kind of turn the page from those losses and get some confidence back. So I expect this team to be, you know, flying high and going in with a lot of confidence against a pretty good Berwick team.
Yeah, Berwick's pretty good. Now, what would this do to win back-to-back games? What would that then do to the momentum of the season?
I mean, I think it would continue to just build on the positives. You know, Berwick's coming in 4-0. This is not the first time where Selins Grove's gone into a game against Berwick as probably a little bit of an underdog. And every time Selins Grove has played Berwick, I think just because of the physical style of play, Selins Grove has always been able to be in those games. And, you know, some games the past few years, they've been able to make plays down the stretch, and other times Berwick makes those plays. But it would definitely be a huge momentum boost, you know, to go into the second half of the schedule 3-2.
All right, here's the next part of this. I asked this earlier with Dave. I'll ask you. This marks game five, halfway mark of the season. But the halfway mark of the season comes up on September 20th. That doesn't feel right to me. I mean, October 4th would feel like right for the halfway point to me. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, it does kind of feel that way. We've been lucky, I think, that we've actually had cooler Friday nights, so it actually feels a little bit more like football weather, sure. Even though it's only September. Yeah, I mean, I think you see it a lot more in the beginning of the season with only having one scrimmage, where it feels like, you know, week one is also working on a lot of stuff. So in a way, you know, it does feel weird to be looking at, you know, September 20th being week five. But, you know, it's kind of the way it is right now with high school football and, you know, trying to, as long as the state playoffs and the playoff system is the way it is, as far as, you know, going an extra 5 weeks to determine a state champion, there's really not much you can do about it, honestly.
Oh, I understand. Just wanted your opinion, though. Zach, thanks so much. Appreciate your time, as always.
All right. Absolutely. Have a good one.
And Greg Weitzel joins us as Shamokin gets ready to take on Lewisburg. Greg, I'll start with that with you. I mean, you've lived this your entire life. Does it feel odd to have September 20th be the halfway point?
I think it's extremely strange. I don't think odd's a good enough word. I think it's strange. It's hard to believe that this is week five of the high school football season. I can't wrap my mind around it, truthfully.
Yeah, because he said that, and I thought, you got to be kidding me, really? Yeah. I mean, if it was next weekend, for example, I probably wouldn't have brought it up. But the third week of September?
And I think
we're
halfway? Yeah, and I think that has something to do with attitudes of the kids right now. You know, they started at the beginning of August. Here we are, September 20th, and teams are 2-2, 0-3, 0-4. You know, this is a big week. This is a big week for the kids, and some of them, I think, are mentally and physically fatigued right now because it's been a long time since August 1st they've been practicing. You know, when I was in school, it was August 16th, August 18th we started practicing.
Right.
You know, so
right.
Everything's been pushed ahead, essentially, 2 weeks.
It's crazy,
yes,
I think the postseason is too long.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. You know, just like in District 4, Class 3A, 8 teams qualify for districts.
Right.
Now, most of those teams play each other during the course of the year. There's no reason 8 teams have to qualify for districts.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree completely with it. So. All right, so let's do a little. We're 4 games in. What do you like about Lewisburg?
You know, they're growing up. They're better than what they were the first game against Selins Grove. They're spreading the ball around more. It used to be Max Moyer's right, Max Moyer's left. Now they're getting some other kids involved in the rushing game. Nick Shedleski's doing a great job finding different receivers. Defensively, they're starting to find a little rhythm. They're tackling better than they did the first game. So I think Lewisburg's growing as a team. I heard Dave talking about doing their jobs. And that's the hardest thing to get, I think, a high school kid to do is trust the person in front of them that they're doing their job. And they're starting to see that where the defensive backs aren't coming up when the quarterback scrambles. They're staying on the receiver a little better. And that's going to be key this week because Shamokin has two really good outside receivers.
All right, so now let's flip it over to the other side. In order to be better, what needs to be better?
Probably consistency in first and second down. You know, they've had some plays where they get a drive going, they're two first downs, and then they come up and they throw an incomplete pass to an open receiver. It might drop the ball, something like that. And so I would say just consistency that they're getting 3-4 yards a clip staying ahead of the chains.
Greg, what about now the matchup with Shamokin? What are going to be some of the things that you've already targeted that you think will be important swing factors?
I think the first quarter is going to be huge. Last year, Lewisburg went down to Shamokin. Shamokin did not run an offensive play, and they were ahead 14-0 because they returned two interceptions for touchdowns. On their third on Shamokin's third offensive play, they broke a run for 63 yards for a touchdown. So Lewisburg didn't even have a sweat going yet, and they were behind 21-0. The game ended up 28-14. So I think Lewisburg needs to sort of steady the ship in the first quarter, and I think they'll be okay if they can do that. Defensively, they have to play good pass defense because they have two really good wide receivers, athletic wide receivers. Basketball players are about 6'2", 6'3", about 180 pounds. So that's I think, the key to the game.
All right. And what kind of rivalry is this with Shamokin?
Well, it hasn't been a huge rivalry because we just moved up to this division last year. So this is, I think, the fourth or fifth time we've played them in football. And last year was the first time that they beat us. So the difference is our head coach teaches at Shamokin High School.
Right.
So that's where the rivalry is. He knows those kids. Those kids know him. So that's what's created a little buzz to the game.
Oh, boy. How about that?
Yeah.
All right. And how's the golf game, buddy?
Not so good this week, Steve. 84-85 this week. So haven't been on fire this week. I'm back to normal.
Wow. See, I feel better. I shot 80.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I feel normal this week. You know, if I hit a fairway, I feel really good about myself this week.
Yeah.
I understand that feeling.
Yep.
All right. Hey, Greg, thanks so much.
No problem. Have a great night.
You too.
Thank you.
Shikellamy at Jersey Shore and WKOK Friday night. Sealands Grove at Berwick and Eagle 107 and 100.9 The Valley. We'll have Shamokin at Lewisburg. And Sean will have game night. Area's best post-game show. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Troy Aikman was interviewed and did not pull any punches. At a time when the league and sport is trying to do all that it can to get calls right, there's more controversy than there's ever been before. I've never been a fan of instant replay. I didn't like it when I was playing. I didn't like it when it returned, when the votes were made years ago to make instant replay part of our game. I just think, for the most part, the officials were doing a good job. There were times when I was impacted by wrong calls. There were times where I benefited from wrong calls. I think over time, it evens itself out. He said, I like what Bill Parcells said back at the time. And we get all the calls right all the time, then I'd be in favor of it. If we can't, then it's not worth it. Now we're reviewing pass interference. That only complicates things from a fan's perspective. Okay, well, isn't that pass interference? Why isn't that called? And these officials, it puts them in a tough position. They're gun-shy now, and the scrutiny is more intense than ever.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.